Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our weekly Woo-hoo! Bracket Rundown Show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by a panel of experts tonight. Let me go quickly over some of our returning cast. Returning experts, whatever we've got. Joe Beforce down below me, John Titel, John Stalica. Off to one side up here, we have David Griggs. And welcome him back to the show. Joined us during the summer. Welcome back on for the first time during the season here, Brian Black, 350 Jerseys for Hope. Brian, how you doing? Welcome back.
Doing great. Thanks for having me back. Love it.
We're excited to hear some of your comments about some of these teams here. I know your Oregon Ducks are probably not going to be a team we're discussing tonight, though.
No, nor should they be.
Okay. Well, we don't know that for sure. I mean, let's roll out the one line. Maybe Oregon's on there.
Maybe the one for the CBI.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I have done is pulled up on the screen here so everyone can see it, a seed list, which is the 1 through 68. When the NCAA selection committee meets, what they will do is they will select the 36 at-large bids, group them with the 32 automatic bids, and fill in a list similar to this of ranking the teams 1 through 68. What we're going to be doing tonight is both those steps kind of simultaneously. We will be discussing who those 36 large bids are.
Yes. Can I just take a minute to welcome the 10 selection committee members to our show tonight? Because I know that they're out there watching. They're doing their due diligence. I'd like to welcome them. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. We hope you find this insightful.
Yes. This is a nice practice for them. They can watch this so they'll know how to do it, correct?
Yes. Yes. That's right.
But what we're going to do again is go through and create a ranking of the teams until we go ahead and reach the end of the at-large bids. If you look in the bottom left-hand corner there, there's at-large bids remaining. When that hits zero, we're going to stop. There will be another under-the-radar podcast we're going to record later tonight where we'll go over the rest of the field. And sometime way late tonight, I'm actually going to create a bracket from all these teams. But David, there's a few terms we use normally in these shows. Can you define some of them for us? For example, protected seed. What the heck is that?
Yeah, a protected seed is essentially 1 through 16. Practically what it means is that you are playing a team that was not inside the bubble in the round of 64. So you're playing someone that wouldn't be in the tournament. They're not in the top 40 had they not won their conference tournament in the automatic bid. Typically the under-the-radar conferences. Technically what it means is that they get you as close to home as they possibly can, and you are protected from a home court advantage. So if, for instance, who's hosting? Wichita State. Who else is hosting?
Creighton is also hosting a regional.
Yeah, Creighton. Okay, so like if Nebraska-Omaha were to win in the NCAA tournament, they in theory would not put them in – that Omaha region. I think Omaha might actually be the host team.
I'll give you a better example, David.
Give me a better example because I can't come up with one.
South Carolina as a 11 seed somehow going to Greenville.
Well, the 6 seed's not protected. So.
Even more so, Lipscomb is a team we're projecting to probably win the A-Sun this year. They play in Nashville. Nashville is a first-round site, first and second-round site, so Lipscomb will not be able to go to Nashville and play their games there because that would put whoever they played at a home court disadvantage.
Right. Thank you. That's a much better example. Yeah.
But on that note, I guess let's go ahead and we'll start filling out some of these teams. We'll have some debate, and I, as the arbitrator, will get a chance to veto at least one team per line, occasionally two.
Okay, we got some more terms. First ballot, that basically means you're in the top 36. You're in no matter what happens in the conference tournaments. What else? What are some other on the bubble? What are some of our other terms? I don't know. John just asked a question, and it turned for a second.
Okay. Well, as we go through, if we use any terms that we don't, I'll try to take a break here and have them defined. But Brian, I'd like to actually turn to you and ask you the question here: who do you think the top four teams are of the nation who should be on the one line right now? Are
well. Just in terms of the eye test alone, I've got to say Villanova at this point probably still deserves to be the number one overall seed. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen their flaws exposed maybe quite as much as some of the other ones. West Virginia, I have as my second number one. again, Bob Huggins' team has never been this high up on the S curve. So it'd be nice to see them keep it going. Their strength of schedule does kind of hold them back. So we'll see if that becomes a factor later on. I've got Duke as the third number one overall seed right now. Their numbers are fantastic across the board, as they typically are. And right now I've got the fourth number one is Michigan State. Again, most of their numbers are pretty good. Their strength of schedule is not quite as high as, say, Villanova or Duke, but I still like them a lot. Again, all four of those teams will look at the eye test, just feel like number one seeds to be able to do anything else.
I'll tell you what, Brian, before I call some of the other people here, I'm going to go over the team sheet page here, and I'm going to pull up that Duke pick that you just made and ask you a question about it, because there's one glaring thing that's missing on Duke. I know they did pick up their second, or they're about to pick up their second road win of the season here tonight at Pitt, who is awful. Their only other road win was at Indiana, who's a bad team. And then the other two times they've been on the road, they suffered bad losses, NC State and Boston College. That's my problem with Duke.
Well, I mean, like you said, yeah, they do have that 5-point loss to Boston College back in when was that? Back in December.
December, yeah.
'09 is when I've got it on here. So, but yeah, I mean, they do have some. They wanted to have two wins versus top 50 teams in the KPI. So, they did beat Michigan State, who I also have on my one line. They do have a win over Texas, which isn't too bad either. So, again, like you said, they do have that loss against Boston College is glaring indeed. But I still feel like, especially as we keep going, part of my ranking system is probably flawed, and I kind of extrapolate what might happen down the road, which of course you shouldn't do. But I feel like, you know, when we're all said and done, Duke is still going to end up as a one seed. But again, we'll see if I'm wrong. They do have that one loss to Boston College. But if I were a committee member, I just have a feeling that seeing Duke there would be a bit too attractive to say no to as a one seed.
Well, Joby, let me turn to you here. If you can see the other team that's up on the screen here is,
yeah, I know that
a little bit of a hint to you as a Virginia guy, and as the other ACC team that I kind of would have been preferring. But do you want to respond to his one line?
Yeah, I actually think he got all the conferences right, but I would switch two of those conferences out. I will let John T. I think name the other conference. We'll stick to the ACC with me. It's tight, but when it comes down to it, I think Duke has the talent, the eye test to be. Brian's right on this. I think they're going to be a one seed. They're not going to be 1-2 forever in the ACC. Actually, 2-2 as we in a matter of minutes. But Virginia right now does have a 2-game lead on them with not an easy ACC schedule today. You know, they went to Virginia Tech. They beat North Carolina, and then beating a decent Syracuse team, probably not listed in the field right now, but at least a decent team. And so I would give it to Virginia. Virginia's missing are a number of wins against the field. And that's whereas, yeah, you look at Duke's, I mean, Michigan State, Florida State, Florida, that's awesome. Yeah. Those are guys wearing white, whereas Virginia only has the win against North Carolina of a team definitely wearing white. Rhodey's in this tournament, but they're not in the middle seed range. That's what you debate, this road, all this stuff. I think right now the conference differentiation of 2-2 and 4-0 is a deal right now. We'll see when Virginia goes to Durham in a few weeks how things turn out. Luckily, we'll be able to make that determination face-to-face, head-to-head.
What about another team?
Okay. Well, first I want to say, he called on Ty Tell, so I'll get to you in a second, but he called you out about the other conference, and I think it probably was the Big Ten. And I can pull up the two profiles here on the screen, Michigan State and Purdue. Do you agree with Brian on Michigan State, or would you go a different way?
I think as of today, I can make a good argument for both. And because of that, I would give the edge to Michigan State because even though it was a huge scoring margin loss against Ohio State, it was on the road, and it was against a team that I think now is in the tournament, which I don't know if I would have said a couple of weeks ago. Purdue, they lost to a Tennessee team by 3 that I think is in, and a Western Kentucky team by 4 that was not in the United States and is a decent mid-major team. The good news for Purdue, their next three are a relative cakewalk. I believe they have, after beating Michigan on the road, a Minnesota team that's leaking oil, a underwhelming Wisconsin team, and an underwhelming Iowa team. So I think that in the weeks ahead that Purdue will go up and get a one seed. But as of today, I can live with the Spartans on the one and Purdue on the two.
David, did you agree with him? If you look at that Purdue profile on the right-hand side of the screen there, there are five top 50 RPI wins away from home there.
Yeah, I mean, I like Purdue's profile. I still have Michigan State ahead of them, even though I like Purdue's paper a little bit more. But the team I really like more than Duke is, like, I have Oklahoma up here because, I mean, West Virginia on the one line. Oklahoma has two losses. The one is to West Virginia at West Virginia. They have wins at TCU. I don't think anyone else has won at TCU. They won mostly at Wichita State, albeit not at the Roundhouse, but in the city of Wichita. No one else has really beaten Wichita State. And they also have that win against Texas Tech at home, who I think is going to end up as a protected seed. We'll see, at least in this field. Maybe not there in March, but as of now. And I just don't see – I just really, really like this Oklahoma team. And I know that they lost, but look at the game that they lost. They lost at West Virginia, who's on our one line already.
By the way, Kansas also won at TCU.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, you're right. So
I'll tell you what.
My argument to hell. My God. Okay.
I get to knock one team off and put another team out to replace them. The teams that we have discussed here have been Oklahoma, Virginia and Purdue. I'm going to go ahead and agree with Joby here. I'm going to knock your knock Duke off Virginia.
That's wrong.
I can't spell it.
Please don't misspell it badly. the FCC could come in on that.
I think we got that right. I guess let's go ahead and take a look at who the next few teams are. I'm quickly adding in Duke, Oklahoma, and Purdue in the bottom right-hand corners, teams that we have discussed. But, Stalika, let me head to you for the next four teams. Who would your two seeds be right now?
My two seeds right now would be Oklahoma and Purdue, and I would also have Arizona State and Texas Tech.
So you would not have Duke in there?
Not Duke.
I would have Texas Tech just above Duke at this point.
Okay. Why Texas Tech over Duke?
Well, if I'm looking at Texas Tech, they probably have the win at Kansas, which I would value a little more compared to the win against Michigan State. And Texas Tech would also have some decent wins against Nevada and also the home wins against Baylor. And I would also say they destroyed BC and Northwestern on a neutral court. But at the same time, I'm not sure about the Northwestern game being of any value.
I don't know that it is, and that's my problem with that. But Tytel, actually, let me ask you to comment on that. Here's Texas Tech on the left-hand side. Great win at Kansas versus Duke with Michigan State, Florida State, and Florida.
A really attractive resume. I understand there's not a lot of meat after the Kansas. How is Nevada RPI 18? Good Lord. But very impressive. When your only losses are at Oklahoma and to Seton Hall by 10 each, I mean, I can certainly live with them there. I'm certainly not going to go with ASU. I would rather get in Stalika Xavier team, but that's just me.
I just want to make one final point, Chad. If I'm also looking at Texas Tech and Duke head-to-head, the Red Raiders have at least lost to two teams that I think will be in the tournament. I can't say the same about who the Blue Devils lost to.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma will be in the tournament. I think they have a good chance.
Brian, what are your thoughts on this argument here? Texas Tech, Duke, Xavier.
I would have Xavier in there. Like right now, they're RPI is 2. I know you can't go too much off that, but like their BPI is 11. And when you're looking at the, let's check the team sheet here for them.
Here comes
Xavier. And yeah, they've got. Let's check here real quick. I've got them. Yeah, I've got them as a 2, and when I've watched them play, I don't know. It's the attitude of the team. They really passed the eye test for me more than say who else we have here. I've got I don't know. I kind of debated between Xavier and Kansas on that two line. And of course, I agree with Oklahoma. And I also think that Virginia and Purdue should be included in there as well. But again, that's I kind of deliberated in how I, as I've watched these teams play. And so it just kind of feels like Xavier deserves some of the respect that they have. I mean, yeah, they did lose to Arizona State. So, you know, I heard Arizona State mold around there too. And, you know, I'm not seeing it with Arizona State, but we'll see if I'm proven wrong.
And I kind of agree with you. And the one change I'm going to make is by putting Duke and Xavier in and taking Arizona State and Texas Tech out. That's one change, David, correct?
Sure, yeah. I like how Chad just makes things up as he goes.
Well, I did the
like, both he puts Duke in time, and then, like, yeah. I mean.
But I agree. I mean, Xavier, I think I really like both these profiles better than Arizona State, Texas Tech. I think that they both belong on the three line. And if anybody wants to argue that those profiles belong lower than that, we may have some issues here. But at least for now, we're going to finish out the two line with Duke and Xavier. And Titel, let me go to you on the three line. Who would the next four teams up be?
I agree that the Devils and the Raiders should get in there. As far as a couple others that I would suggest, I think we need to get some other Big 12 team in there, and it's a coin flip between Kansas and TCU. I'll go with Kansas because it seems like they're finally getting their act together. And then as much as I love Wichita, and you should feel free to put them under consideration, I think Carolina is up there just because they've lost to a bunch of great teams.
And Washington
has lost to a Notre Dame team.
And Joby, your thoughts on this?
Wofford's a great team. Wofford's a great team.
Wofford, North Carolina. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wofford's just outstanding. I think Titel's. I think it's pretty much what I would say. I actually, right now, because of the Wofford loss, that's how tight it is. Even though they have a great resume beyond that, you can't fault losing, for instance, in Charlottesville. That's not going to be a bad loss, let's hope. But I'm going to throw out, it's probably a little early, but let's look at the old Clemson Tigers, because they have a couple of really nice wins, and no bad losses. It's not ideal. But Temple's done this twice. Last year they did the same thing to the damn Glass Tiger of double hit wonder.
Yeah.
Did it again this year. Did it to Auburn, they did it to Clemson. You know, weird solo wins. But it's a solid resume. One loss, undefeated in the ACC right now. Right now, they did at Ohio State what, you know, we've already said Michigan State could not do. I'd make a nice argument for Clemson versus North Carolina. Yes, I think at the end of the year, North Carolina will be above them. But that Wofford loss as being such a big part of your resume now that will go half of your resume later hits me.
David, what do you think? Should Clemson be there over a team like North Carolina?
I really liked Clemson, and I thought I had them high. I did not have them this high. I'm not as big on North Carolina for a lot of the reasons that Joby said, but I'm just not really there with Clemson yet. I mean, their record is outstanding. They've got some pretty good wins. I'm thinking they're fringe protected seed, but I don't have them all the way up on the three line.
Well, would you have North Carolina here then, or would you go with maybe Wichita State also mentioned?
Even though their paper stinks, and I know that it does, I just think Wichita State's better than North Carolina. And again, to reiterate, we're not, with this exercise, trying to guess the actual committee. We're just doing it as if we were the committee. And, yeah, with really not a whole lot to point to, I just think Wichita is better than Carolina.
And their resume got better thanks to Marquette. Yeah. Because remember last week I was banging the drum. What's wrong with Wichita State? Show me a tournament win. Yeah. And guess what? Marquette's little run right here, I think Marquette's in this field. We'll find out later.
Well, Sleeka, what do you think? Where would you lean on this argument here?
I would probably give an edge to Clemson over North Carolina. I mean, it's not like North Carolina outside of the Wofford game has any other terrible losses. But at the same time, Clemson has been far more consistent. And the win at Ohio State, as we'll get into later on, suddenly is carrying a lot of weight.
Rutgers and Michigan State are going overtime as we record this, so we may need to bring Michigan State down if they can't pull this out in overtime, but we'll discuss that.
For the record, I had him on the two line.
Yeah, for the record, I had Rutgers in the field, for the record. Well, we'll see. I'll let you know where I had Rutgers. I'll keep you in suspense.
David, let's move on to the four line. I am going to leave this three line alone to make up for my extra move on the two line, I guess. But we do have Wichita State and Clemson we've discussed. But who would your four seeds be, and would they include those two teams to begin with?
Let's see. Give me a second here, because we've got Wichita State and I have Clemson. I have Auburn, Seton Hall, and Clemson, yes.
Wichita State, Auburn, Seton Hall, and Clemson.
I think. I'm having a hard time reading my notes here. I was watching the game and not deleting them as we went. But, yes, that is the four line. It's perfect the way that it is. I see no need to make any changes. And I think we can move on now.
I think there's a team that has been mentioned yet, but Brian, what do you think about those picks there? Wichita State, Auburn, Seton Hall, Clemson, as making it all the way through to number 16.
I do have Wichita State as a four. I agree with them. They've looked pretty good and deservedly so. Hopefully they'll get better
seats. I hate to do this to Clemson. I errored. I didn't realize Arizona was not in yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
And I would have Arizona at the top of that line. I'm sorry, Chet. I wasn't. Yeah.
Okay.
Arizona and Arizona State. So I agree. I think Arizona deserves to be in there. I kind of deliberated whether I put Arizona or Arizona State on the four line. One of them is going to be a four. One of them is going to be a five. At least right now. But yeah, I agree. Arizona, I think, is just above them. I also have TCU in there. I know some people will probably think that's crazy, but I just think I think they're a four seed. They really look like it to me. And I agree with Clemson. Clemson. I know some of you guys threw that out there, but I also have Clemson up there again. There, can you pull up their Clemson's sheet real quick? I know we probably were just talking about it. Clemson. Yeah, the loss to Oklahoma and then the loss at home versus Notre Dame. They don't have any bad losses, unlike North Carolina, who, again, we'll see how that goes. Now, have they played North Carolina yet?
No.
They'll be playing them next Tuesday night at North Carolina, where they have never won in their entire history.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking like 70 straight losses.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And a couple of those were overtime games. But anyway, I think that, Arizona is the one I have in there, and then TCU as well. TCU, where their RPI is in the teens, at least, I think. It's pretty high. I know the RPI shouldn't be always over. What do you guys think? Is TCU worthy of being in the top 16?
I just don't like them as much as I like Auburn. And Auburn's done – if you look at the Auburn profile, they have a lot of decent stuff on there that doesn't make you jump up and down when you first look at it. But when you look at it a little more deeply, like the win at Tennessee was a really good win. I think the wins I thought the win at Murray State was really good. And the neutral floor win in Alabama against Middle Tennessee I thought was really good. And they won those games rather decisively. I just think this is a really good Auburn team. They only have the one loss to the Glass Tiger Temple team, and they've just been rolling. I like them. I like this team a lot, and whether we put them there now or not, I think they're certainly going to have the opportunities to continue to play their way up there, so we shall see.
Well, Tytel, let me get your thoughts on this here. I mean, we now have six teams we're debating here. TCU, Clemson, should one of those teams be bumping down a team like an Auburn or no. even your Arizona team, which I would not agree with, but I think your Arizona team belongs there. But
I don't know. Arizona was lucky to beat Utah and did not beat Colorado, and the metrics are great. Auburn is hard to figure out. Like, that strength of schedule is one of the worst that we have so far of this top 16. I know that they've only lost to Temple, which sadly for Fran Dunphy fans like myself is looking like a worse and worse and worse loss every day because he's lost five in a row. But it's hard to argue with 15-1, so I can see why they're in there. Yeah, I mean, I like it as is, but I think the argument can be made. That's why we do this thing, and it's all shades of gray, so.
Yeah, it's like here is that Auburn versus Clemson thing. I mean, you can look at them very identically because they both have the same negative, and I like Auburn has on the positive side better, don't you?
Well, mm-hmm. Auburn is a little bit better as far as some of wins at the top of the profile when you look at the win at Tennessee and also against Middle Tennessee at Birmingham. I think I'd already covered Clemson, at least as far as what was at the top, but they also have respectable wins against Louisville, NC State, South Carolina, and Louisiana.
Those are as respectable as winning at Murray State, winning at Dayton, beating UConn, and beating Ole Miss, aren't they?
Well, beating UConn. I mean,
Ole Miss is probably one of the few SEC teams I wouldn't value as highly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I kind of like the line as it is as well. So I think we're going to alone.
Excellent line. I mean, that's just.
Yeah. Joby, let me turn to you for the next four teams up on our five line here.
You got two of them. You knew Clemson was going to be coming out. TCU. The one that actually ahead of TCU on my seed line, but it's pretty interchangeable. I, like last week, I am still with the Zags. I am a Gonzaga guy. They've done everything for the most part, you can ask of them. And they aren't going to get many opportunities. They right now have three or four wins against the field. That's maxed out. Their resume's pretty darn good. We should give them credit. The other one that I'd put in this area would be jumping all around. Would be
how about an SEC team?
Auburn was stolen from me. That's who
there's
I am.
Others.
Yeah, I didn't go Tennessee. Yeah, I did go Kentucky, didn't I? Yeah.
I was gonna say, there's three SEC teams and maybe a team for the American that I think should be in this discussion here. But
yeah, I went with Kentucky. Okay. I don't love Kentucky. Yeah, I can be persuaded from because I think the resume isn't that great. But look at that. high end wins in Section One. Kentucky, big fat zippy. But their losses are all against teams that are very reasonable. They do have a collection of stuff. Georgia is better than the 40th ranked team. Because they're not a few lines away from me right now. A&M is in a tailspin. Louisville, they did blow out in that vicious rivalry that the two of them have. So yeah, I'll go Kentucky, but I can easily be persuaded away.
Well, Tytel, you want to try to persuade him away that whether or not, first of all, Gonzaga was a good pick here, and second of all,
oh my gosh, you said an American team? Yes, Cincinnati. You've persuaded me. You persuaded me.
My God.
Cincinnati is a four, so I missed him.
Yes. Tytel is one hell of a trial lawyer.
Cincinnati, get him out.
Just completely, completely.
Awful wins out here. Put up Cincinnati's nice-looking, sensible profile here.
Wow.
Look at that.
What a win. What a jump. Tytel, that was persuasive. That was amazing.
That's called –
as of this age, your fan hasn't suffered enough tonight.
Yeah. Well, Tytel, you want to respond here? Is Cincinnati the right team here? Also, what about the Zags pick?
No, he had it wrong. It was Kentucky all along. I mean, when your best wins are Buffalo and Temple, you're not ahead of the Kentucky Wildcats, who've beaten Virginia Tech and Louisville and Georgia and LSU and almost choked last night, but still beat A&M, Kentucky.
All right. Well, David – Kentucky has something that no other team in the field has, that we've discussed has. They have the name Kentucky on their jerseys.
Right, and that, I mean, that is on the resume from what I understand, the name. But, I mean, I like this Kentucky profile, and I like this Kentucky team. They won last night. I know A&M was shorthanded.
You're Mr. Road win. Where's so the road Kentucky. Win?
I well, I mean, they're coming. You know, you have to go on the road to win on the road. And Kentucky's had the disadvantage of just not playing on the road. Anyway, no. I think we're going to continue to see Kentucky improve as the year goes on, and at the end they're going to be dangerous. And because of that, I might be overvaluing them a little bit, but I don't know. Like, I did have them ahead of Cincinnati, but I had them back-to-back, to be honest, so it's close.
Well, Stalico, you are a huge non-Cincinnati fan as a Xavier alum. Where do you think of what are your thoughts on this debate here, Cincinnati or Kentucky on the 5-line?
I mean, if I had to debate between Cincinnati and Kentucky, I would choose the Bearcats. Just because you look at Cincinnati, their best win was at UCLA, and their losses against Florida and Xavier, certainly respectable. But if I were looking for a team instead of those two, I'd probably be looking towards the Miami Hurricanes.
Let's take a look at that. That's a good point. And Brian, I don't have to reach up here. It's Miami made the team we're just in here.
I've got Miami, I want to say, is a 6 seed. Are we on the 6 line or still on the 5 line?
We're at the end of the 5 line, yeah. Bottom of the 5.
Yeah, I don't have them quite that high. I have Miami as a 6. So, again, I go off the eye test probably way too much, but – I remember I went out and saw, or I watched Miami lose to New Mexico State, who I still think is pretty good, but that I feel like is just holding them back from moving up to that 5 line. Other than that, like, they do look pretty good. I debated between them and, was it Gonzaga, I would say, yeah. So, yeah, I definitely think Miami deserves consideration, but I feel like that loss to New Mexico State, kind of the way they lost, especially since I want to say it was on a neutral court.
Yeah, it was out in Hawaii.
That kind of, especially when you're talking about putting teams on a neutral court, I mean, I don't know, that may not look as good. So if I were a committee member, I would probably be taking a look at that at this time.
Well, I'm going to make a decision here. I'm going to do one bounce here. I'm going to put Kentucky in, Cincinnati out. Sorry, Joby. I'll go with your original 4 as opposed to your revised 4. but and Brian, let me go to you then. For who would your next 4 best teams that we have not put in yet be? The only 2 teams we've discussed have been Cincinnati and Miami that we did not put in yet.
All right. So do we have I know somebody said that they're crashing. Right now, Texas A&M, but I think that's going to drop here in the next few days. It's just where they're at right now. So if they keep losing, obviously they'll keep dropping from there. We said Arkansas yet. I haven't seen Arkansas.
No, we haven't said Arkansas yet. And this is, again, this is 6 line. And what about Cincinnati and Miami? Would they be on your 6 line also or no?
No, they're on, I actually have them on my, I believe, my 5.
Okay.
No, so I have them on my six.
Yeah, okay, so. So your next 4 teams would be A&M, Arkansas, Cincinnati, and Miami under what we're doing? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess I kind of hesitate. The A&M team, Joby, that's a real tough team to gauge because they've been so unhealthy and so bad when they've been unhealthy.
I didn't like the fact they're 0-4 in conference is killer. That does mean something. Yes, the health, I think they're in this field. You got to let them be in this field. But I don't know if they're wearing white, to be very honest.
Yeah, I had them way down the list.
I had them way down there. As a matter of fact, I had them in my range of this is why we have play-in games. You know, my theory that I've stated before on play-in games is if you have so many question marks about a team, a play-in game to prove themselves is a good place. If you look at what A&M's done recently, they are out of the tournament. If you look what they did early, especially like West Virginia, will tell you, they are not just in the tournament, they are a protected seed. Let's let them figure out on their own where they should be.
Well, Tytel, what is your thoughts on this? I mean, you're our selection committee guessing expert. What would the selection committee do with a profile like this?
between these two, I think that they would give A&M the nod today. But the whole point is that it's January, not March. And I think that while Arkansas does have a bunch of losses, not that A&M doesn't, but I'm more impressed by beating Oklahoma. I mean, the Virginia win is amazing. I still can't figure that out. I remember that because it was the first game of the season.
First game of the season, yeah.
And West Virginia was killing them in the first half.
Yeah, they were.
And the whole game flipped 180 degrees, and they ended up losing by 20. So I don't know how the committee figures that out. If they just say, oh, it was a 20-point win over one of the best teams in the nation, regardless of first game of the season and Germany and whatever. It's a great win. I just don't know how it figures out in March.
Well, David, is there a team you would knock out of this list here then, the A&M, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Miami team? And if so, who would you put in?
It would be A&M, and I like Florida State.
Mm-hmm. Florida State. We have not yet discussed. Joby, you want to comment on Florida State?
Yeah, I mean, Florida State, they had the nice win. You know, North Carolina had a hellish road trip, but their first game was Florida State, so they're the most fresh for the Florida State game. And great game, awesome win against them. Then let's look what they did at conference. The at Florida is looking better and better and better. Weird loss on the Oklahoma State game, but it was a one-point game, neutral court. This Florida, I think Florida State, you know, this is about where they should be. Middle, still wearing white, not a protected seed. I think this is where they're going to wind up at the end of the year, too. I think they're going to be constantly around the 6-8 range. They'll do something stupid like lose to Wake. I mark it down today. But then they'll go out and they'll beat Duke. It's going to be or Virginia or someone like that. It will be a team that will be frustrating, but it will all balance out at the end around the 6-8 seed.
Well, Brian, let me get a chance to respond here. Florida State, you look at that profile. They got the North Carolina win and the win at Florida. A&M, not so good since they beat West Virginia on opening day.
Well, again, I have A&M here only out of posterity in that, like, I realize they're tumbling badly. So, like, if the season ended today, like you said, the committee would probably have to put them here. But and I agree, like, they're definitely falling. Has anybody mentioned Tennessee yet?
Not yet. Let's pull up their profile also here. I'll take Florida State down for a second.
I really like what I'm seeing in Tennessee. I really have.
Again, the Kentucky and the Purdue wins and no bad losses.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the loss to Auburn, Bruce Pearl beating his old squad. But, again, other than that, their wins are – what is their strength of schedule?
Two. Two.
And it's really good, or against a really good strength of schedule. So, I feel like the eye test for Tennessee does more for me than it does certainly for Texas A&M, but even more so for me than like Miami. So, again, I have them. I've got Tennessee as a 6 seed. Yeah, 7 seed. I've got them as a 7. So, again, I think they're right there.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a call here. I am going to take Texas A&M out, put Florida State in on the seed line. So we've got A&M and Tennessee as two teams we've discussed as holdovers. And, Salika, you're up next. Who would your next four teams be?
Well, I can tell you Texas A&M is not going to be one of those teams. Tennessee would be one of them. And okay. Along with them, I have to go with Florida, who has rebounded quite nicely since the December slump.
Yeah,
I'll take Notre Dame, sight unseen of what's going on tonight against Georgia Tech.
Oh, is that game?
You don't want him.
I'm going to put that down here under consideration already. They did lose that game tonight to Georgia Tech. And so I'm already ready to veto that pick there. Go ahead. Who's your
Well, if we're going to veto that, then I'm just going to go straight to Creighton.
I agree. With
Rhode
that.
Island.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow.
Rhode.
Wow. That's an eye opener.
Well, Patel, what do you think about those picks now that I, with the veto of Notre Dame off the line?
It's pretty solid. I think that I would want to. Pretty solid. I do not veto any of them.
You wouldn't veto any of them. Joby, what about you? Do you agree with him also that we?
I would have Rhode Island on the 8 line. But I mean, it, like I think on my seed list, I'm looking at Rhode Island's a 30, so the fact he's 28, I mean, that's not a ridiculous thing. The team that I mentioned offline that I am really starting to like, and
I'm taking him in already, I'd say.
Matt is very, very happy with this pick. I'm just going to go ahead and grab it. I know it might get vetoed, but Marquette is playing well. And I like this Marquette team. They are starting. The thing is, they're starting to get wins. All of a sudden, Providence and LSU are starting to look really good. You know, out of nowhere, they look like nothing a week ago. Now they're starting to look like good wins. So I'm starting. All their losses are reasonable. You know, they don't have. You know, they have a lot of losses. They have five of them, but all their and because Georgia, we're going to be talking about very soon. So don't, you know, you can't poo-poo the Georgia loss. You know, the other ones are against protected seeds. So Seton Hall, Providence, LSU, a road win against Wisconsin, neutral against VCU. Those are good. Those are good wins. That's, hey, 7-8 seed makes a lot of sense here.
All right. Well, I put Marquette profile up here. And, Joby, I do my own seed list before the show, even though that I'm not announcing my picks. I'm just kind of, you know, vetoing it. I'll tell you quite honestly, I had Marquette right there, number 28 on the 7 line. I agree with you. I think, you know, those wins are looking so much better. David, your thoughts?
We can't have Marquette up there then. Not if you've got them up there. I am moving them down my seed list right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, David, why don't you give me the next four teams? I'm not going to do any vetoes off this list. I'll leave Rhodey there, but I think Marquette really needs to be in consideration for this 8 line. But who are your next four teams, David?
Another team that I think is playing well, although they're a little bit inconsistent, maybe even schizo a little bit, I have Butler on this line, along with Nevada. And I know they lost last night, but Michigan and Marquette here or no? What's that?
Would you have Marquette here or no?
Nevada. Yeah, Nevada. And I had Marquette here, but then you said you liked them. So now I'm moving them down, and let me find another team. I'll just leave them up there.
I'll leave them on there. Marquette, Michigan. Brian, what do you think about his picks here?
Butler, Nevada. Marquette. I have Marquette a lot lower than folks, just because I want to see, like, one more really good win from them, and then I'm going to move way up the list. Other than that, I think if we haven't said Notre Dame yet, I think they should be here, although I'm kind of suspicious of that. Hard to us put Ohio State up here now, too, because they are a hot team right now. So, again, it's kind of between Ohio State and Notre Dame for me. Right now I have Notre Dame a little higher. Well, that loss was the Ball State to Notre Dame.
In Georgia Tech tonight. I mean, that's a little bit crazy.
Three strikes are out,
coming into today.
With Bonzi out, this is, you know, the thing that I had Notre Dame still hanging on was the fact that they got some wins out, or the Syracuse win specifically, without Colson, saying, okay, they're resetting, they're doing it, good win, road win against Syracuse, okay, and then they go to Atlanta and barf all over themselves. Sorry.
Well, yeah, like I think was mentioned that they could not do something tonight that Grambling could do, and that's pretty darn bad.
So they literally went into a hornet's nest and got stung.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and stick with this line as is as well.
Excellent line.
Let me turn
twice
to you.
In a row, Chad has stuck with my picks. Why don't you just let me pick the whole thing, Chad? I'm that good.
There we go. Tytel, who would your 9 line be?
I think we have to get A&M and Notre Dame in here just because I feel bad that they've been sitting under consideration for a half hour now. As far as two other teams, as we speak, Texas is leading TCU, who we already have in the field. And so I will presumptively throw Texas in there. And then for my fourth, I would do a coin flip between Missouri and SMU. And say SMU, because if you're beating Arizona, then I respect the hell out of you.
You went with SMU over Missouri. Stalika, what do you think about those picks?
Well, first of all, I think David is trying to tell me that I'm number one right now. But this is where I probably would have Notre Dame, and I can also – Texas A&M and Texas would be palatable, but – instead of SMU, I would have Ohio State up here right now.
Right. We did mention Ohio State briefly. They hadn't gone into my consideration list. I apologize. I forgot to type them in there. But David's making some type of noises. But Brian, what do you think? Ohio State, SMU, what do you
They don't have – Ohio State doesn't have any bad losses. And SMU, I mean, yeah, they're in the American Athletic, which this year is probably as good or better even than Pac-12. So, I mean, yeah, SMU has the win over Arizona, which is really nice. I think Arizona is going to do well in the Pac-12, and they're going to end up winning the conference anyway. I know it's what it's done for me lately. But, I mean, I have Ohio State and SMU both as nines as well. I also have Missouri and Texas on the nine line. So, I mean, SMU does have the, you know, the loss to Northern Iowa, who's been meh. So I mean that's probably the biggest blemish for them. But in terms of eye test, I still say Ohio State slightly over SMU. I've got both of them.
Yeah, and Tytel, one of the things I look at here on these team sheets here, there's in the yellow here is an overall average. That is the average of all six major metrics. The J&G is not part of that, but RPI, KPI, SOR, BPI, SAGRID, KenPom. Huge difference between these two teams. There are 20 spots in your metric average. Do you still like SMU better when you look at something like that?
Not great, and especially because the Gonzaga, I think RPI is going to keep going up. I'm worried if Wisconsin goes down that Ohio State is going to be left with not a ton of great wins at the top. Not that SMU is a ton with Boise State and Central Florida, God help them. And based on the road record, Ohio State 2-0 on the road, SMU 0-3, I can follow Stalika and put the Buckeyes in.
All right. Then I'm going to go ahead and make that veto there, put Ohio State in, SMU out, Missouri also under consideration. And Sleek, let me go – I'm sorry, Joby, let me go to you for the okay. For the
well,
next
all right. When you look at SMU's resume, one of the big things I don't like about it is the number of bad losses compared to good losses. There's another team that has a similar type situation that I think is better in this head-to-head situation. Georgia. I mentioned them in passing before. Let's go ahead and put Georgia down. Chad, have we put Nevada in? Yes, we have.
Yes, we did.
This is where we start. All right. Let's go Georgia. Let's go. All right, Washington. Yep.
How about Missouri? Who was
mentioned? They got to win in Kansas City. UCLA. And I don't like Missouri's profile. I'm sorry. I just don't. Okay. They haven't done enough. And I'm trying to – they haven't.
According to whose rankings, Joe, we look at all the other metrics.
I know. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Let's pull up the Missouri profile here for a second.
No. It's actual games they've played. They haven't really oh, great. They beat Central Florida on the road. Wow. They beat South Carolina on the road. Awesome.
Guess how many minutes their best players played?
Wow.
2 minutes.
They've really beaten a lot of tournament teams. They've really proven themselves.
Michael Porter Jr. played 2 minutes and is hurt the rest of the year.
Is he going to play at any point?
No way.
It's a great story, don't get me wrong, but you lose to Illinois and you lose to Utah. That's 0-2.
And if Porter was healthy, they're not losing those.
That's a big deal to me.
Yeah, but he's not, and he's not going to be, is he? Is he expected to return?
That?
And yeah, we don't give him a bid over that. Sorry.
You have to evaluate the team. Well, first of all, we got to determine where are they. Okay, Missouri needs to be on the 11 line so they can match up against the 3 line in the round of 32.
Yeah, I get you.
What? I'm just saying.
And I'm going to throw the wild card team I'm going to throw out there. Chad, you're going to like this. And I could see SMU as an argument here, but I want to get a good discussion going on one of the hotter teams in the country, the LSU Tigers.
Okay, now that's a bold pick, that's even higher than I would have.
I'm higher in my ratings. This is me, not my ratings. So.
All right. I got Missouri up there as a team we just discussed. Let me also put up LSU and. David, let me bring you back in here. What about this LSU team? Win at A&M, win over Michigan, only one loss to, well, I guess the Notre Dame loss is looking pretty bad now also, but the SFA loss too.
Well, you got to keep the Notre Dame loss in the context. Notre Dame was at full strength for that game. Having said that, I just don't – I'm not as sold on them to the point to where I'd have them in the field, much less this far inside the bubble. Maybe as the year goes on, I'll change my mind, but right now I just like Mizzou better. You know, the wins at South Carolina, Central Florida, decent.
The Aggies, and even though they were had some hurt, and a neutral Michigan team – those are two teams in our
– the win over Michigan Central on a neutral floor is really good.
South Carolina will not be – you know, that's a big difference. And St. John – the Johnnies, 0-5 Johnnies, you know, way to go.
Well, they're 0-5.
I mean, they finally started playing people, and Chris Mullin is now exposed.
Well, Salika, what about putting Georgia in this high and putting Washington in this high? Do you agree with Georgia on those picks?
Honestly, if I were to disagree, I would have to really make a strong case for SMU, Missouri, or even teams like St. Mary's, New Mexico State, or Boise. I mean, by comparison, Georgia has the win against St. Mary's. They've also beaten Marquette. And if I'm not mistaken, none of Georgia's losses are going to be that putrid.
They had some weak ones. I don't know off the top of their head, but they had a couple of ones that less than SMU. But
I forgot the UMass game.
Oh, there you go. I knew it was somebody out there. But yeah.
Well, Tytel, where do you weigh in this argument on who belongs? Because we are getting towards the first four here, close to it, and we're starting to see a lot of names tossed out now.
I'm surprisingly impressed by Georgia's resume. UCLA's metrics are okay, but there's so many – no, please go back to the under consideration because that is where all the metrics are. I don't love all those triple-digit strength of schedule, so I agree with Salika that we have to get SMU in here. And if I can pick Michael Porter Jr.'s new team, Missouri, over his old team, Washington, I'm fully prepared to do that.
Think about have we said Syracuse or Baylor yet? Have we talked about that?
I know.
At least be in this conversation too. I don't think my numbers are quite up to date on them, but I mean, I think Syracuse numbers look good again. In watching them, I think they're still worthy of being basically for being a 10 seed. But I know other folks may not agree. And then Baylor, I think they're right up there too. So, and then Minnesota as well. If we haven't said that, both of them or all three of them are probably going to be at least for right now should be in that conversation.
Well, here's my problem, Brian, with the Syracuse, and this is a team that's now lost three straight games, you know, to Notre Dame, Virginia, and the game at Wake, really, really a bad loss there. And they haven't beaten anybody that we've put in this field yet. They have zero wins against anybody we've put in the field. At least Baylor has the Creighton win,
Baylor is doing horrible things to themselves.
But they're non-conference straight. They scheduled nobody. They played the Southland Conference in non-conference. They didn't.
No, Chad. They played the SWAC.
They played the SWAC.
They and Mississippi State are competing for the SWAC championship.
And I guess the other team that you mentioned already slipped my mind. I apologize. Minnesota.
Right.
Oh, boy.
David, let me let you address Minnesota because I know you've got a take on them.
Yeah, my take is I don't like them. I don't see what's good about them, and they've got a very interesting practice squad if you've been paying attention to the news lately.
Well, aside from that, you got to look at the Alabama game. They were 5-on-3 for half of that game and actually got outscored while they were 5-on-3.
Right, and again – You know, but you got to remember that they weren't outscored when 5-on-5. But still, like, their shining moment, probably their best win. The Providence win, Providence is getting better. I was really impressed when they won at Providence, but then Providence went into the tank, and that win looked less and less valuable. So one of their wins probably wasn't as impressive as it initially looked, and another one came against the team that finished the game with three players. And there just isn't anything else there.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's make a call on this line here. I'm going to put SMU in over LSU. I like LSU. I think that they may get in on this next line. We still have six spots left, but not quite there for me, Joey.
Boise is better.
Brian, let me go to you here for why don't you give me four more teams here? The top four off of that list that we've got right there.
Okay, let me give you a couple more. You have Boise State on there, so I have them. Do we have Houston?
Whoa, Houston, my team.
Where are we still on the 11? Yeah. And then we've said Maryland. Is Maryland up there?
No.
No, not yet.
Missouri's not up there.
And Missouri's not up there either? Okay, well, definitely Missouri should be in there. I have Missouri way up at the 9.
Okay, so we've got Boise State, Houston, Maryland, Missouri. Tytel, let me start with you. You want to address one or more of those teams?
Love Missouri, hate Houston.
Okay. Brian, what do you like about Houston? Let me put their profile up here because this is it's another American team, but you got a real bad loss there to Drexel.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I think maybe the wins may actually outweigh them at some point. Again, they do have all the wins against Arkansas and Providence. Again, it's marginal. They definitely look like a bubble team. I have them barely on the good side of it. But again, it's an 11. So they're right there. And then the other ones I have under consideration in that same spot are UCLA, and I have Marquette not in the field either. So there's a couple other ones right down there that I kind of deliberated back and forth, but ultimately was like, man, I think Houston barely at this point, but it was really close for me.
Well, Joby, I would like to just discuss this Houston team with you, actually, because you do your nitty-gritty ratings, and they actually kind of like the American Conference.
Yeah, they like this. It's weird. Central Florida is even liked by the nitty-gritty. Which, what that means to me is, I'm not saying Central Florida and Houston are both going to be in the field. What it means is the American gave us a surprise via the nitty-gritty 2 years ago with Tulsa, up and out of nowhere. Don't be surprised if at the end of the year a team pops out of the American that is somewhat unexpected. Houston, at least out of conference, has developed two nice wins with Arkansas and Providence.
Oh, so it was the nitty-gritty's fault. The committee was. Nice going, Joby.
I mean, it was so bad that when I was doing mine, it's like, oh, just ignore it. That, you know, computers are not, you know, computers can't get everything right. You know, no way Frank Haith gets in. All of a sudden, Tulsa winds up in the damn thing. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. But I'm not on Houston. Houston is actually on my bubble, but on the wrong side of it. So there are some teams, you know the LSU discussion. We've discussed Baylor would be a team I'd like in here. Yes, the same team that I pounded on last week, I'm now supporting for a bid this week. But a team that I'd like to at least discuss that I actually have on the right side is, ironically, a team that lost to Houston but has done better lately, and that's Providence. We have not discussed the Friars yet, which I think we probably should.
Sleeka, what do you think about the Providence Friars?
I mean, the Providence Friars certainly look better after getting a nice win against Xavier over the past weekend. They have a win against Washington, which is starting to look better. But other than that, you have the wins against Belmont and BC that may be somewhat relevant. But they've also lost at UMass, which is going to be a bit of a strike against them.
Yeah, it's tough for me to go there. And I'm going to make a call here. And I'm going to knock Houston out, LSU in. I told you last time I did like LSU here. Leave the other three. I do like the Maryland, Missouri, and Boise State to make this field. David, if you could see, we have two spots left.
Yes.
And I believe, actually, Tytel, you're up for the last two teams that make our field.
Well, my pick would have been New Mexico State.
Oh, well, Ed, if you want to put New Mexico State,
we'd kick it back another round.
If you want to give me
It would have been New Mexico State, and then that would have been it.
All right, Tytel.
As much as I don't like Syracuse, I love their metrics, so I want to get them in there. And as much as I hate St. Mary's strength of schedule, they have two losses all year, neutral site, one by 5 points, one by 2 points in overtime. When you're literally a few points away from being undefeated, you're good enough in my book. Come on.
Put them in. There they are. I think that's a great spot for a team like
the Jets. No, a better spot would be another spot.
I'll tell you what, and for David's sake, at number 47 here, I'm going to put New Mexico State in because there's available in the field as the WAC auto bid. Leaving three teams that we've discussed that did not make it in Houston, Baylor, and Minnesota. Let me run through each of you at this point and see if there's any changes you would strongly make towards the end of our bubble here and any other teams that you'd think we should have discussed that we didn't. David, let me start with you on that.
There is no one we should have discussed and didn't, other than perhaps some of the under-the-radar teams that we're going to discuss. I actually think this New Mexico State team is pretty good. I don't know if their paper will be there at the end, but I certainly think that they are capable of beating the majority of the teams that are inside the bubble but on the bottom half of the bracket, so the 9, 10, and 11 line. I like them more than most of them. I'm not big on Syracuse or Missouri. I know Syracuse had a lot of decent but not good out-of-conference wins, but they were all at home. Houston, I got to get over their one big win over Arkansas. They've certainly had other chances to build on that and haven't, so I can't say that it's too unfair that they're not in. But St. Mary's, I still think St. Mary's can win a lot of games, but one of them better be that last one.
Brian, what about you? What are your thoughts on what we put in and what we left out?
I was considering in this was Alabama, only mostly just because of their strength of schedule. I think there's last I checked, their strength of schedule is pretty high. I'm not sure. I've got to go back in. If you can pull them up real quick,
I'm sorry. Which team?
Alabama, the team that just won the Natty in football.
Georgia gets the revenge not being in our field.
You mean UCF?
Yeah. Oh, I kind of like UCF, actually.
That lost a game instead of the one that didn't lose it, right? Okay, so Alabama, yeah. And fittingly, they did lose to Central Florida. So, like you said, they did get their revenge. at Vanderbilt is a bad loss. Again, they look a lot like a bubble team. Their strength of schedule is what I look at here, and that's the 10th best in the country. So with the SEC clearly being pretty strong, at least as opposed to how they've been in recent years, I feel like Alabama should at least be in this under consideration, maybe last four, our first four out, you know, next four out sort of thing.
Yeah, and they were one of the teams that I was going to bring up and discussed. Another SEC team that just lost tonight, and if they had won this game, probably could have really gotten some discussion. But Mississippi State, another team with the not that great strength of schedule and a bloated record, but some of the metrics are at least in the ballpark, especially your rating there, Joby. And
that'll come to fruition there. Get in because the rating right now extrapolates your record, and you're not going to let out a team from a major Power Five that goes 24-4. They're making it. But Mississippi State's not going to be 24-4. So, it'll play itself out. Mississippi State will fall out of those rankings. I'm pretty confident. A team we haven't discussed, I know they had a bad loss this last week, but everybody loves the Bonnies. Come on. Everybody loves the Bonnies.
The Bonnies. That's
like the 9 seed last week. Yeah. One loss. So,
Yeah, well, Tytel, what about you? Anybody else we haven't discussed or any other moves that anything that you think that we got glaringly wrong throughout this entire seed list?
Well, we already got some red color graders in here, so I'm going to vote for some blue color graders. I don't think Middle Tennessee is going to make it in that large, but I really like the resume. Very tough strength of schedule. They lost to Auburn by 6, Miami by 3, USC by 5, all of those neutral site, and to Belmont in middle November by 6 at home, albeit. I think they're going to be favored in most of their games the rest of the way. I know it's a tough conference with teams like Western Kentucky and ODU, so I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated the rest of the way. Very experienced team, so I don't think they're going to be an at-large necessarily, but I think they're going to make the tourney. I think they're going to win a first-round game. I really like the roster.
Be the third straight if they did so, if they do.
Yeah, and the list of teams that have made it to the round of 32 3 years in a row is not very long. So.
Well, Salika, let me have you close it out for the show here and give me any other teams that we didn't discuss or any other comments on what we put in.
I'm not going to argue that any team should be ahead of, let's say, Maryland or Syracuse, but I still want to keep an eye on Utah and see what they do for the balance of the Pac-12. While Oregon and Oregon State are down, sweeping that road trip is something that even the best of teams rarely do in that conference. It would have been nice to, at the very least, maybe get a win against Arizona or Arizona State at home. But the top of the Pac-12 at least gives them some opportunities to pile up some quality wins. But you better avoid the booby traps in Stanford and Cal if they want to go dancing.
Well, that Stanford team is dangerous to beat right now. They find a way to pull every game out of the last week or so, but that is getting off of the board here, definitely. Let me go to pull this down then.
So, as I say, Stanford is a troll team because they lost to Portland State with a bunch of guys hurt for many years. They'll troll a bunch of teams that are on the bottom and then get in themselves.
That would be – but I guess on that note we did complete our one through. We ended up getting 48 because I threw New Mexico State and Middle Tennessee in the bracket there at the very end because they did come up. What we are going to do now is go ahead and if a little while from now, we're going to record another podcast that with some of our panelists here at least. And if you want to watch it, you could find it right down below there. Yeah. It's going to be our Under the Radar podcast where we're going to go ahead and fill out teams 49 through 68 and discuss all those leagues. And then even below that, you'll have a bracketed version of what we did tonight. But I guess on that
note, look at it until you watch this. You can look at it now.
So go back and watch this.
Don't look at it now, because otherwise you'll make this man angry.
Go on.
All right. I guess on that note, on behalf of Angry Frank, as well as John Slica, Joby Fortson, John Titel, David Griggs, Brian Black back with us again as well. Make sure you follow him at 350 Jerseys for Hope. And we will talk to you again real soon.